The reading from Ruth 1 can be found on page 267 in your Bible, and it's about Naomi and Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judea, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people."
But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates me, you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told me. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law. Arriving in Bethlehem, as the barley harvest was beginning, This is the word of the Lord.
Another change of voice. You've got Andrew now. I'd say a short prayer. Father God, thank you for Andrew. We ask that you bless his preparation so that we can be encouraged by a superstar called Ruth. Amen.
Amen. Happy Mother's Day, and a big thank you to all the mothers, grandmothers, stepmothers, aunts, teachers, and friends for the children you have loved, guided, encouraged, and cared for. Your voices have smoothed away fears, wiped away tears, picked up your charge when they were down, corrected them when they were wrong, and in many ways shaped the person they have or will become. Although the world of the Bible was a very patriarchal society, there are a number of mothers who played key roles, changing the narrative and history of history itself. Good examples include the unnamed mother who placed Moses in a tar-coated papyrus basket in the bulrushes, or Mary, the mother of Jesus. This morning, Leon and Audrey have read us a wonderful story, or part of it, of Naomi and Ruth. It's one of the greatest stories of love and loyalty, but it was born out of great family distress. The story opens in difficult times. The Jewish nation was a mess. The people did as they wished. It's set, the family are living in Bethlehem, which actually means house of bread. But there's a severe famine, and many regarded it as a sign of God's judgment. Elimelech migrates the family across the River Jordan into Moab. Unfortunately, there was quite a lot of animosity and hostility between the two nations, and it went back generations. Intermarriage was frowned upon, and in Israel, they looked at Moabite women as being blamed for seducing their men and leading them away to worship the pagan god Baal. And these prejudices about migrants and different cultures, we still see it today. But despite this, the two sons marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. But as you heard, sadly in a few years, all the men have died. In that period, the outlook for a widow was somewhat bleak. Unless they had a son to provide, poverty at least beckoned, if not more. When Naomi hears that the famine in her homeland has ended, she looks about starting back on the road home. And she stops and urges younger women to go back to their mothers and to basically find a new life. Initially, they both insist on staying, but on the second plea from Naomi, Orpah agrees. And the conversation is also tied up with the Jewish tradition that an unmarried brother would be expected to marry the widow of his brother. And Naomi is warning the difficulties for the younger women. Now, Ruth would have seen the risks going into a foreign land where she could be despised, open to abuse, giving up her religion, probably losing the possibility of marriage and having children, simply in order to care for Naomi. Despite all this, Naomi gives a most wonderful statement of affection and commitment. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if anything but death separates you and me. So what was it about Naomi? What has she done despite all the personal pain and grief? We're not told. We can imagine a few things. Could it have been the depth of compassion, love, and support Naomi had poured out to Ruth despite her own grief? But my sense that it is far more than that. It is the apprehension that Naomi's faith is tangible, very real. It pervades her whole character, her countenance, and all that she is. Maybe Ruth had heard Naomi's prayers and witnessed the strength it gave her mother-in-law and the answers. Perhaps Ruth had seen Naomi's faithfulness in God and the mercies that he poured out to her. Maybe she had compared it to the pointless trust placed by her own nation on handmade idols. When our children stayed with my parents, my mother, when they were tucking the children into bed, would say a short little prayer over them every night. And our daughter Emma still says that every night to her children now, even though they are 16 and 14. She says other prayers as well, but she says this particular prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, keep safe tonight and protect them from all their fears. May angels guard around their bed until morning light appears. And Emma commented that saying such prayers, one will never know what impact it has. And clearly she thinks that having heard that prayer has impacted her own life. And for those who don't know, Emma has been involved in establishing Thy Kingdom Come, a prayer movement for the Church of England, which has gone international. And I've been wondering how many generations back that prayer has come from and how many generations that prayer might go on. I will never know. I've printed out some copies of it, which you can, at the back. So if anybody here who's occasionally has their granddaughter to stay, you can say it. And maybe a certain young lady will say it later on in life. We never know. But getting back to our story, we had the two women coming back to Bethlehem. And I suspect there was a bit of wonder, who's that coming over there? And after 10 years and all the trials and tribulations, you can imagine that the emotional difficulties may have taken some toll. It's just how life is, I'm afraid. And Naomi, whose name, the name Naomi, actually means pleasant. So when she's saying that my name should be Mara, she's saying, look, I have changed. My name, I've been for this bitterness, for all that she's endured. Now, fortunately, if we read on in the short book of Ruth, there's only four chapters. There is a happy ending, despite all this. Ruth meets Boaz, who's a relative of her father-in-law, who treats her well. They marry. She has a baby called Obed, and he is the grandfather of King David, who is one of the greatest characters in the Old Testament. And you can just imagine that grandmother Naomi and Ruth passed on their faith and their love and everything about them. And that sort of love cascades down through the generations. And Ruth is named as one of the ancestors of Jesus. Now, the power and depth of love between Ruth and Naomi, we still see it in families today. But we also see it in some individuals' deep love for and between with Jesus. And good examples of that, as some people know, think of the late Mother Teresa. But also some of you may have heard of Jackie Pullinger, who at 22 went to Hong Kong to minister and work with the drug addicts. And she's still doing it today. But mothers here, I know that you never, most mothers ever do, never stop loving their children. We are made to love. Jesus expects us to love. And as we all know, love makes the world go round. And my prayer is that we never stop loving.
whatever we are, whatever we're doing, that we never stop loving. And that's my prayer for us all today. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. I think Ruth is a superstar. I really enjoyed just reading the four chapters. It's short. Men, read it. It'll do you good, honestly. Your God will be my God and your people will be my people. I mean, how wonderful would it be if someone said that to us and came to church and grew in faith? So we need to remember that our faith is on show wherever we go. And we also need to remember that for some people, we are the first Bible that they will read.